This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to be here with you. Thank you to everybody who called in the first hour. I get going at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific every weeknight, Monday through Friday. Always big stories. Even when we don't have sports, we have stories that deal with its return. We have stories that deal with social issues. We have stories that deal with money. There's still plenty going on in the world of sports. Thank you to the NBA, helping to bring us some basketball back. July 31st can't come here soon enough. July 31st is going to be a holiday for me. I can't wait for that. Major League Baseball, I have no idea. The NHL looks like they're flushing out more of how they want to go about getting their season going outside of knowing that, okay, we're going to have two sites. Major League Baseball, who knows? The NFL, they have plenty to try to figure out over the next few months. So there's plenty to do. Okay, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Times are tough. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Okay, I don't want you to move because in about 40 minutes, we're going to have on Quentin Williams. Who is Quentin Williams? This is someone who ran and started a D-League team. This was before it was the G League. Started one of the first teams. This is someone who ran all of player personnel for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is someone who is an attorney, a lawyer. This is also someone who was a former FBI agent. He's also someone who was a former college athlete at Boston College. I don't know what Quentin Williams hasn't done. And right now he works and has his own nonprofit where he ties together issues of social justice, law enforcement, and the community, amongst other things, as he's still actively involved in law. So don't go anywhere. There's plenty to discuss with Quentin Williams, everything from issues that have been going on in the world regarding social justice, the start of the NFL season, of the health of players. I mean, there isn't anything regarding the world of sports that he hasn't touched. I'm even going to ask him, I want to talk to him about the situation involving Zion Williamson and whether or not he was a real amateur or whether he was a pro, quote unquote, while he was at Duke. Was he eligible to play at Duke? Was he taking money? Was him and his family taking money at Duke? And how is that going to affect Duke and Coach K? So there's a lot of questions. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have that conversation with Quentin Williams in about 40 minutes. Obviously, the big story of today, I would pretty much say there too. There's the return of the NBA, which I just outlined in the last hour. And I also said in conclusion, listen, don't hold your breath on a return for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Not worth the risk. Not at all. Don't count on that. And the other story pretty much bleeds in from yesterday, and that involves Drew Brees. And we know Drew Brees' comments in regards to support of the flag. He expressed his opinion on that. And we had a lot of callers last night on it. The majority found his comments to be, you know, tone deaf and deflective. And I agree with that. At the same time, I understand Drew Brees' opinion. But I think a lot of what people are saying, they're missing and have missed the mark. It's not about his opinion. It's about what he said can be interpreted as tone deaf and disrespectful. There's a reason why we have protests here in the United States of America. There's a reason why we're having these protests all over the world. And, you know, I think at most people just need to listen. Don't listen to argue. Don't listen to prove a point. There is a problem. We have a problem here in America. We have a problem here in the world. No different than, you know, are you breathing air right now? You know, does the sun come out? You know, these aren't things that are debatable. These are facts. And racism is a fact. It's not non-existent. It hasn't been non-existent. So there's no debate there. So with everything that happened yesterday, there's zero surprise that Drew Brees came out with an apology. And he actually doubled down on an apology. He posted a full post today via words, via text that he posted on his Instagram earlier this morning. And then later on in the day, he doubled down with a video message. Now, in the course of the day, Drew Brees, his apology was accepted by his teammates, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. They accepted it. But this video message came out a few hours ago, and rather than read you his earlier statement, listen to Drew Brees on his Instagram. Listen to his apology.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
Okay, that's from Drew Brees. And I think for the folks who the apology matters the most to are the people that he has to work with and deal with directly in the locker room. And I want to say this and make this extremely clear. Drew Brees has always been entitled to his opinion. That doesn't mean his opinion lacks in depth or understanding of the real issues and problems that exist. So I know a lot of people saying, why is he apologizing for his opinion? It's not apologizing for his opinion. It's apologizing for what his opinion meant to other people. For most people, it seemed ignorant and divisive and put offish. So I'm glad that he apologized. You know, it's more so just like anything else. It's about action. That's fine. And Drew Brees, by all indications, this is an issue that he's been steadfast about. Whether he's doing something in the community or he's donating, you know, Drew Brees hasn't come out to me as being some awful human being. No, but his comment yesterday wasn't inclusive. He didn't listen to what the actual message was. And even his response to the question wasn't necessary. So that's very simple. So most importantly, his teammates have accepted his apology, and it'll be very interesting to see how the New Orleans Saints move forward. You know, Drew Brees has been in the NFL a long time, and his players accepting his apology, at least publicly, show something. As far as I've seen as of this moment, I haven't seen Malcolm Jenkins, who probably put out the most, I don't want to call it scathing, response to Drew Brees, but he basically told him to shut up. And I haven't seen a response from Malcolm as of yet. But you do have other players who've accepted it. And, you know, for everything, it's about actions. Words are fine. Drew Brees has shown, whether it's Hurricane Katrina, etc., he's shown, okay, I'm an okay guy. It doesn't matter what you feel about his personal thoughts or beliefs. That's separate. Now, having said that, you know, it's actions. It's actions. You can look at someone in totality and figure out, okay, who are you? What do you believe in? What values do you stand for? What values do you uphold? And I mean, for instance, the NFL, it's no secret. They blackball, you know, Colin Kaepernick. But at the same time, today they go forward and they put down another $20 million donation to help fight social justice issues. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, well, can your actions and words, do they match up? You know, are people thinking before they speak? Are they making the right decisions and choices? And I think when it comes down to equality and racism, it's not a side. It's not I pick this side. It's not I pick that side. If you're a human being, you stand up against things that aren't right. It's very simple. And when people aren't treated equally, that's not right. You stand up for equality if you're a quality human being. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's no two sides of issues. It's facts. Just do what's right. Give people an equal chance. Treat people equally. It's very simple. It's not rocket science. And I mean, over the years, we've had athletes who have stood up for what they believe is right, even if it would be something that harms them. You can look at a Colin Kaepernick and say that, yeah, he knew what the potential results were. He sat on the sword for a cause. And you may not agree with what he did, but if you pay attention to the message, you can understand it. He's silently protesting something that's not right. And he had to pay for it. He still doesn't have a job. I mean, Hicks, of the Chicago Bears, he comes out and he basically says, okay, well, what do you think happened to Kaepernick? We had Mike Glennon. And this is an interesting time because we're almost 4 years to the day when Muhammad Ali passed away. This is someone who had his boxing license taken away from him right there in his prime because he didn't want to go to war. You have someone like Billie Jean King who says, hey, me as a woman, how come I'm not getting paid more money to play tennis? You have your Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's who put out a beautiful statement about what happened last week and the issues of race in the United States of America. And this is something he's been doing for years. You have Bill Russell's. You nowadays, we have someone like LeBron James. And LeBron James has been an exemplary human being. What happens in LeBron's house, and I have no idea. We don't hear about it outside of him having fun with his kids. You see that his kids and his family love him. You don't hear a negative thing about LeBron James. But he stands up for issues of social justice, and you know, you have people who say stick to sports. I think he's been exemplary. I think LeBron James is the type of person that you tell your child, hey, that's the type of guy that you may want to, you know, follow if you're a kid. We've had plenty of people come through over the years. You have Tommy Smiths and, you know, John Carlos's who bucked the system, you know, raising their fists at the Olympics. You know, it's not a time for silence. You know, Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the 49ers, he put out an amazing statement that I tweeted out. I retweeted on my Twitter at JR Sport Brief. And, you know, he basically put in his two cents for what racism looks like here in the United States of America. So I think we're in a space, we're in a time where people should primarily listen to what folks are saying. Because we have people who have been silent. We have folks who haven't necessarily had a voice. And now that they speak up, people change the subject. People don't want to have the conversation. People deny and doubt the problems that are there. And I want to commend just people who speak up and speak their mind and do it respectfully. And bring up the conversation of what's not right. Because there's been plenty of people who bristled against someone like Bill Russell speaking up. We hear plenty of people who bristle or kind of become uncomfortable when LeBron James says something, even though he can have the N-word plastered across the front of his house on his driveway, which did happen. And people can still say that, okay, everything is okay and everything is fine. So we've had a lot of athletes who have come down the pipe just over years and have stood up for what they believe in, have stood up for their rights. And it's not just about race. Sexual orientation. In the NBA, you have someone like John Amici. You have folks like Michael Sam. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you agree with the lifestyle or if you don't. You know, these are people who stood up and believed in equality and at least giving people an equal chance. You may not agree with the principles, but there are a lot of folks out there who went the extra mile. Because when you make the money that they make in corporate America and the viewers are involved in the money that they make, it's easy to sit down and stay silent. But there are a lot of athletes who do step up. And I want to show them some love. I want to open up the phone lines right now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What athletes, past and present, have you appreciated standing up for issues, social issues, not just racism? You know, 4 years ago, we lost Muhammad Ali, someone, a beloved figure, just not just here in the United States of America, but across the world. He's a prime example of someone standing up for what he believed in. The phone lines are open. Let me know, what athletes have you appreciated who have stood up for social change? The phone lines are open. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about athletes who have stood up for issues in society, who haven't been afraid to stand up for what they believe in. It doesn't matter if it's issues of money, of sex, of race, sexual orientation. There is plenty that an athlete can stand up against. So we're taking your calls, athletes who need to be shown a little bit of love. The number 855-212-4CBS is sponsored by Geico. They've introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You know, you have modern day Colin Kaepernick. You have LeBron James. We've had, obviously, Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, almost 4 days or 4 years ago to the day of his passing. We've had plenty of players, Billie Jean King, John Carlos, the list can go on and on. Let's start off and let's talk to Philip in Atlanta. Philip, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on?
I'm here with you, Phil. What you thinking?
No, it's cap all day, you know, because, you know, a lot of these athletes, they pay lip service. You know, I don't want to hear about no tweet. I don't want to hear about, you know, what you put on Facebook. You know, put action behind that. And Cap is the only one of the only ones that put action behind it, knowing the consequences, that it would cost him a ton of money in his career. And the sad part about all that is not so much the NFL blackballing Cap out of it. It was more than the black athletes that didn't come to his defense. A lot of them should have. The NFL should have did an all flat out boycott, you know, but, you know, unfortunately that didn't happen. Only a rare few came to his defense, while everybody else was too worried about their money. And, you know, so, you know, Cap is the number one, you know, thing for me. And I'll say this before I go. You know, here's a perfect opportunity now for black athletes to sit up here and take the stand and boycott the NBA, boycott the NFL, boycott college football like Brandon Eagles with the University of Texas is doing, to say, look, we're sick and tired of this. We're not an entertainment factor, you know, for American society to get back to business as usual. If African-American athletes really want to make some change, start to upset the money factor, and you really start to see change.
Okay. Well, thank you, Philip, for calling up from Atlanta. That would upset their own pockets in the same space. That's why, obviously why we don't see that. Let's talk to Luke in Baltimore. Luke, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. Go on ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a lifelong Baltimorean, and it was always been known that since we had the Colts in the championship years of 58 and 59, at one time the Colts players had wanted to go to Alan Amici's restaurant, which he was a player for the Baltimore Colts, and he had his restaurant in what we call Little Italy here in Baltimore. And the other players that were black, like Lenny Moore, couldn't go. So the white players like Gino Marchetti said, well, listen, we're not going to the restaurant if everybody can't go. We're not going to, that's fine. We'll go someplace else to eat. But all, we go as a team. If you don't want the black players there because it makes your clientele look bad, then we don't need to eat at your restaurant. And they didn't go. They didn't go there. This is way back in the late 50s when this happened. Mm-hmm. Well, but can I touch on something with the Drew Brees situation too?
Well, I'm very short on time, Luke. Can you do it in 10 seconds or less? Probably not, but can you?
Yeah, real quick. Drew Brees is one heck of a guy. He donated $5 million just this year alone for the residents of New Orleans for the COVID-19 relief fund. I mean, the guy has done a lot of good things for the city of New Orleans, for everybody. And one bad comment shouldn't define a person's character. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you, Luke, for calling up from Baltimore. Let's talk to Terrence in Georgia. Terrence, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, first things first, let me say this. I'm not blowing smoke, but I love your show.
Thank you, Terrence.
Kurt Flood, for me, created the when he challenged the reserve clause in baseball, because that was basically indentured servitude, because they could buy you, sell you, give you a pay cut, and you had nothing to say about it. When he challenged the reserve clause, that opened up the doors for all athletes, not just African American athletes, but all athletes to get their fair share. And in my opinion, every athlete who signs a contract should donate to the Kurt Flood Fund. Thank you, babe.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Terrence, for calling up from Georgia. That's, you know, a lot of people don't realize how recent free agency is across sports. I mean, Kurt Flood, I believe his issues was closer to around 69-70, and we didn't have, quote-unquote, free agency. It didn't come into effect in Major League Baseball until, I believe, 1976. And then you have someone, Reggie Jackson, who can come and get, I believe, a three-year, $5 million contract. That was unheard of. He basically had to sit and spend a year in Baltimore before he got that big deal from the New York Yankees. And so you wonder why Major League Baseball is still in the space where it's at now. You know, to a certain degree, the owners don't want to lose out on the cash. They want to regulate the salary structure. Let's talk to Dave. Dave is calling up from Georgia. Dave, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
A lot of Georgia people tonight. Hey, JR. I just want to tell you a quick story. First of all, Colin Kaepernick can't get a job until Kaepernick gets his job. I mean, that's just the way it is. You understand that. But the story I have to say was, of all the people that gave Muhammad Ali a chance, who would you think did it? Lester Maddox. You know, I mean, do you remember the story behind that?
Nah, fill me in.
He couldn't
fight If you can do it quickly.
He couldn't fight anywhere, and Lester Maddox was the one that gave him a chance, you know, to fight. And the first fight was against, I think, Jerry Quarry in Georgia, nobody else would give him a chance. Lester Maddox, of all people, changed his ways and gave him a chance.
Okay, and I'm gonna have to look into Lester Maddox, because some of what I see right now says he's a segregationist. So I'm gonna have to look into that, Dave.
Yeah, look into it, because and let people know what I said. I mean, I at one time Lester Maddox was a horrible person, but he did change his ways.
Oh, okay. That's the beauty of people, Dave, is that they do and can have an opportunity to change. I'm going to go ahead and look that up, because, you know, what I don't want to do is say, okay, this is exactly who it was and this is exactly what it did, and I don't have a clear message on it. You know, I do have a clear message on Muhammad Ali, and I will go ahead and tell a quick story, you know, about, I don't even know how many years ago this was, but Layla Ali was at her prime. Yes, the daughter of Muhammad Ali. And I was actually helping out Layla Ali with her entrance music. Fat Man Scoop, who's a DJ, also is my uncle. He was putting together entrance music for Layla Ali, her fight at Madison Square Garden. This was the only time that I was in the presence of Muhammad Ali. And I have never seen so many people stand up and show love to one individual at a sporting event universally as they did when Muhammad Ali was just mentioned. It was mind-blowing to me how much love that he was shown. And it was because, yes, he's an entertainer. Yes, this is someone that's a global figure, captivated a worldwide audience. But this is also someone, whether you agreed with him or not, this is someone who stood up for what he believed in. Okay, don't go anywhere. When we come back, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to have on the phone lines no one other than Q Williams, Quentin Williams. He's a former executive in the NBA, the NFL. He is a former FBI agent. He ran player personnel for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He runs a social justice initiative to tie together the community. There's plenty to discuss with Quentin Williams. You don't want to miss this. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. With everything going on in the world, it doesn't matter if it's a pandemic or it happens to be a social issue, I had to bring on someone who has extensive experience. This is someone who is a legal expert, entrepreneur. He's a former FBI agent. He held executive positions in the NFL and the NBA, and now he also runs a nonprofit dedication to the community and Choose to Live. They serve to basically tie together all aspects of the community. It doesn't matter if it's law enforcement, education, matters of social change. It's Quentin Williams. Q, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Nah, no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, you have an extensive background. I want to talk to you about what's going on in the world. I know you, at one point in time, you helped run and start a D-League, G-League team. So there's a lot I want to discuss with you. But obviously, between COVID-19 and this past week, dealing with George Floyd and the aftermath in the country here and coaches talking, Drew Brees. I mean, how is the sports landscape going to change when it comes to matters of social justice?
I think we're at a time. This is the inflection point, the tipping point in our nation's history for our era. And we're at a point where being silent is no longer an option. So whoever is a part of this process, which means we all are, you have got to make people accountable. Everybody wants action now. It's not about awareness of these issues. I think Mr. Floyd gave his life to make us aware of issues, of these issues. Now it's about what is the action that we're going to take? What is the strategy that we're going to take to gain the solutions so that we as a people, as a society, are better?
We're chatting it up with Quentin Williams, attorney, former FBI agent, executive in the NFL and NBA. You ran player development soup to nuts for the Jacksonville Jaguars not too long after their inception. What are your thoughts on the NFL's eventual return? At this point in time, it seems that there are a lot of issues as it relates to health, training camp, regular season that aren't answered outside of we want to have games. What are your thoughts on the league's return?
You know, and especially you're in a league where there's contact too. I mean, that's the nature of the business. It's a contact sport. So number one thing, they have to make it safe and healthy, because if it's not safe and healthy, and if somebody gets sick, and because this virus can spread so quickly, that means that we can infect the whole locker room very quickly. So got to make sure everybody's safe and healthy. There have to be protocols in place to ensure that that's going to happen. And then with respect to everything off the field, in the fan sections, there has to be a consideration about how are you going to fill stadiums? What are you going to do? What will the policy be? And I'm sure that across the board there's going to be inconsistency with trains of thought. But that's the league's responsibility, to come up with a consistent policy that will be in the best interest of the players, number one, the game, and the fans, number two. Players have got to be put before everything.
Well, Quentin, I have to ask you, being a former exec in the NFL, are you or do you have confidence that this is something that's going to take place later this year without a major hitch or a major stoppage?
Not confident that it will happen without a hitch because it's something that we cannot predict. We don't have enough of a handle on it to be able to say, you know, we can isolate certain segment of society and everybody else will be all right. We don't know that. We could do that. And there's no vaccine. So we haven't gone through the cycle of this thing in order to have confidence that we can defeat it. So, you know, we're all playing this day by day. And that is what is very off-putting for many people, is the lack of knowledge of what to expect.
No,
so we could start it up, and then we could have a second wave, and that will quickly shut everything down. And it's not like the NFL or the corporate America will have a choice. They will be able to say what they're going to do or not going to do. Government will step in, and government will tell you you're closed down. And, you know, that's not a good situation for everybody.
We're chatting it up with Quentin Williams. Well, Quentin, I ask you, that's on the health side of things. You know, more recently over the past several days, we've heard the comments from Drew Brees. We've seen the apology from Drew Brees. Regardless of how anyone feels about what he said or didn't say or how it's interpreted, how is that going to have an effect on their locker room?
Well, that locker room will have a different dynamic now. And, of course, he expressed his, you know, his sorrow for what he said. But it does reveal the way he felt. And because you reveal something like this at this stage, it's very painful, as many players have spoken out and said it's very painful. He has a lot of work to do in order to earn the trust of that locker room again. And frankly, I don't know how long that will take to happen. Drew doesn't have forever to play. He's 40-something years old, so he doesn't have a long time to play. I don't know if he has enough runway to earn the locker room back fully.
That's absolutely true. And then we all know he has that television deal waiting on him as well. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in public and in behind the scenes for Drew Brees. On the phone with us is Quentin Williams. He's an attorney, former FBI agent, and executive with the NFL and NBA. What are your thoughts on the Rooney Rule? I mean, you were pretty much there at the onset when the NFL was starting a lot of their fellowship programs. What are your thoughts on this new rule they tried to implement that was pretty much lambasted by many folks?
Yeah, what this comes down to is culture. And changing the culture of a business organization like the NFL and ensuring that affirmative action was brought about so that we could bring everybody to a level playing field. It wasn't to give an advantage to anybody, but rather just to level the playing field. And that's what I think coaches and front office personnel of color want to have happen at the NFL level. But this isn't just an NFL issue. If you look in the college ranks, the training ground for many of these coaches, it's very uneven. So while there are folks who are not or getting shut out at the college level, they don't even get to have aspirations for the NFL because they don't get into the college scene. This is not just a professional issue. It has to be, yes, it has to be led by the NFL, but it also has to be led by the NCAA. They have to do something that's going to ensure that there's some equity, systemic fairness in the process when we're talking about hiring coaches at the intern level all the way up to the head coaching level.
We're chatting up with Quentin Williams. Now, Q, with your background as an attorney, you mentioned the NCAA, and we know that they're going to have to adjust, and they have started the process of adjusting players being able to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. What are your thoughts on that? Is that something, finally, their back has been up against the wall? Do you think we'll see real change there now that they've kind of been forced to do so?
Well, the reason why the NCAA hasn't wanted this, you know, to pay in any way players is because it truly is a slippery slope, meaning once they give in to a little bit of something, the bigger things are going to follow. It's just that's just going to be the organic nature of the process. So when they were trying to hold off on paying players anything, even a stipend, for 20, 30 years, they were saying they were touting the amateur nature of the sport in order not to pay. But in essence, hey, listen, this is the way I think about it. I played at Boston College. And when I played at Boston College, my scholarship was worth anywhere from $16,800 as a freshman to $18,100 as a senior. My head coach was making $75,000, Jack McNeil, $75,000 a year. So maybe four or five-fold the value of my athletic scholarship is what his compensation package looked like. But now, even if a scholarship is worth $50,000 a year, you have coaches making $5 million a year. The business has heightened on so many levels for so many people, and the players have not been able to participate. So because of that, there's an unfairness in the process. And the NCAA has been leaning on amateurism to protect them. But really, this is unfair that players, because I don't know many head coaches who blow out their knees on the sideline. Mm. Players are putting themselves at risk, blowing out their ankles and knees, hurting themselves, putting themselves at incredible risk, and they're not getting anything. So they agreed to give the stipend. And the stipend is still inconsistent amongst the membership at the NCAA. Some are getting $4,000 per semester, and some are getting $1,500 per semester. There's no consistency there. At some point, because of what's happening now on the marketing side, you're going to see players making real money, and then at some point they're going to have to get payment, compensation. And you can call it whatever you want. You can call it a trust, so they get money now, and then they have money when they graduate,
yeah,
vested per year. Whatever it is, they're going to have to get compensated. The NBA is leading on this, and that's why they created this program where they take the top high schoolers, they allow them to forego going that one and done, and they allow them to play in the professional setting,
yeah,
while getting paid real money, $500,000 or more.
Yeah, we had Sharif Abdul-Rahim joined us a few weeks ago, president of the G League, to discuss that. Quentin Williams is on the line. We're discussing all matters. Quentin has a varied background from attorney, FBI agent, executive. There was a point in time where you were top dog for one of the first D League teams. Before the G League, they switched the name, the North Charleston Low Gators. And obviously right now we see Zion Williamson caught up in a situation where he may be called to sit on a stand and talk about his eligibility and taking benefits. Do you think this is going to be something that will blow away in regards to Zion Williamson, or is this a big problem for Zion, Coach K, and Duke?
It's not only Zion's issue. This is an issue with myriad players. I mean, this is a hidden secret. This is a little dirty secret of, college athletics. That guys get paid. I mean, I don't understand how this is all a surprise to some people. Guys get paid. So it's just a matter of whether they get caught. Which is why I say you have to set up some compensation package for them so that they still might do that, but so that they at least have less of an incentive out of struggle to do it. They see how much money the universities are making, and it just strikes of unfairness when you cannot go buy a pizza, and yet you see people wearing your jersey number, and You see how much your cachet brings to the university in terms of TV revenue, in terms of the ability to raise tuition. When I played with Doug Flutie for 2 years, Doug did so much for Boston College. Boston College does not look like Boston College when I went to school.
Yeah.
It's rebuilt. There are buildings that are just incredible. And why? Because Doug Flutie started this. He started it. He won the Heisman. He's the guy, still the guy. And so why didn't he get to participate? That it's just so unfair. And so this is going to be revealed, and it's going to be big, and the truth is going to come out. You can only hide this for so long, but it's a dirty little secret.
It's a dirty little secret that has continued to rear its head, and I think we're coming to the culmination of it as it deals with the NCAA. Quentin Williams, we've been chatting it up with you. You do so much in the community, whether it's your legal work, your entertainment work, your work with the leagues and the teams. Where can people keep up and follow you and all of your endeavors?
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So dedicationtocommunity.org, dedicationtocommunity.org, tocommunity.org. And that's where you can find out what we're doing. My book can be purchased there, and I donated all the proceeds to Dedication to Community. So when you make a donation, it's going to the not-for-profit, not into my pockets. We are all over Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you can find me too on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So please, this is the calling to bring people together, build these relationships, and law enforcement community is a part of that. What we're going through right now is exactly the space we want to conquer.
Well, Quentin, I appreciate the time. We're definitely going to have you back on to give more of your expertise. A lot of these themes we're going to continue to discuss on the show, the rest of this show. But, Quentin, we're definitely going to have you back. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.